Call the November 14th, 2013 Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. Madam Secretary, if you call roll.
Ms. Lucas?
Here.
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Ms. Gundy?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Bourne is not here. Mr. Brown?
Here.
And Mr. Cino is here. Good morning. And we have a quorum.
All righty. That's good. There are not any corrections. I'll entertain a motion at this time to approve our October 10th, 2013 board meeting minutes.
So, second.
Motion made by Ms. Hines, seconded by Ms. Kundig. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Anyone need to disclose any ex parte communications for any items presented today? Seeing none, matter of announcements. Madam Secretary.
Yes, Mr. Brown, we do have a few announcements this morning. Case number, item number 15, case number CEB 1113123 for Blue Mountain Management and Forum Food Mart is in compliance as of today. Oh, sorry.
You have any needs to be retracted?
Okay. Never mind.
Okay. Let the record reflect Mr. Bourne has entered the meeting.
Lien reviews 2 and lien review 3 are the same address for 1654 West Paradise Lane. These are some old liens. I was contacted by an attorney who has been hired by the family to help the owner, and he had a conflict for this morning and respectfully requested to be moved to the December agenda. So he'll be ready at that point to come in and ask for the lien review for those two cases. And if you wouldn't mind, I don't know if you want to hang on to your packets for next month, but to save paper, I can either collect it and send it back out to you, or if you all want to hang on to it, just let me know. I'm not sure if there are any other announcements. I think that may be it at this point.
Okay.
Thank you.
All members of staff that will be testifying today, please rise to be sworn in.
Solemnly swear or affirm from the testimony you about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Members of the audience, when we call you to the microphone, we ask that you do speak into the mic as our proceedings are being recorded. We want everyone to be heard nice and clear. At this time, I know we have one attorney present. Any other attorneys present today? All right. Want to step forward and let us know which case?
Thank you, Mr. Brown. My name is David Johnson. I'm here on behalf of Secured Capital. My office address is 870 East State Road 434 in Longwood. We have actually two matters, although one I was told by
Mr. Johnson, hold on 1 second. Just want to let the board know that's items 2 and 3.
We're going to combine them.
Items 2 and 3 will be combined, okay?
So we can let the
record
reflect.
Also, let the all righty.
Gray Woods in court. Okay.
I got it. Thanks.
Yeah, Vicky said it's in compliance, so she probably wouldn't bring it up. Okay, all right. All right, never mind.
In 1 second, Mr. Johnson, we usually will hear from the city first, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
What we're going to do is we're going to continue this to the next cutoff, allowing the city to check into information on the property about taking it over.
Okay.
Excuse me?
Both cases?
Yes. Both cases, same property, one being infestation of termites and the other one being all the issues with the exterior and interior.
Mr. Johnson, is that amenable?
Yes, we're hoping that the city will take the property we've offered it to them.
And how about that?
My understanding is that they're interested in it. We'll have to work out some details.
All right. Let the record reflect we're continuing cases 2 and 3 till our December 12th meeting. Any questions? We don't need to take a moment.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and put that in the form of a motion to continue cases 2 and 3. Case number CB0913103 and CB0913104. We're going to continue those to our December 12th meeting. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty.
He also has a case number 18.
All right.
Vicki Langford is a code officer, and that's in compliance.
Case number 18, yes, in compliance.
Thank you.
Thank you. All righty.
Since it is our case and it's here for a second time, that's why we needed to do a motion to continue, as opposed to something like Lee reviews, which we haven't even dealt with yet.
Gotcha. All righty. Okay, we're going to go to lien review number one, which is CB081391, 893 Derbyshire Road. Lorraine Tharps is the respondent present, seeing that she is. Ms. Tharps, if you'll come forward and be sworn in, and then we'll hear from the...
Actually, I believe it's Ms. Tharps' children.
Okay. Representatives of Ms. Tharps. Okay. If you all will come forward, identify yourself, give us your name and property address and your relationship to the property owner, be sworn in, and then we'll hear from staff, and then we'll get an opportunity to respond.
Okay. Michelle Tharps, 893 Derbyshire Road.
Azizi Tharps, 893 Derbyshire Road.
And your relationship to the respondent?
Children of Lorraine Tharps.
Okay. You all raise your...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Can you swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, and there's nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hector Garcia, Community Standards Compliance Manager. We're here on... lien review for 893 Derbyshire Road. There was some lack of communication between the party that owns the actual property. Ms. Tharps resides out in California. Correspondence wasn't getting to her. Not through lack of our fault, because what the addresses that we had through the property appraiser, we did the proper notification based on that. However, upon Ms. Tharps realizing that there was a problem with the property, she immediately did contact myself as well as Officer John Stenson, flew down with her brother, made the adequate corrections and repairs to the property. Therefore, the city has no problem. It is at $5,892.27. Our recommendation is, just because of the time frame that it took and the correspondence and the effort that this, the time and effort that we've put into it, we recommend a reduction down to $1,000.
Okay. All right, Mrs. Tharps, the city recommendation is to reduce the fine to $1,000. Are you all acceptable of that, or would you like to give testimony?
We're acceptable of that.
Okay. All righty. How long would you all need to make that payment? Just for the board to consider, not necessarily saying we'll go with it.
A week, 7 days, a week.
We'll give you 30 days.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
All righty.
Thank you.
Chair will questions.
I just want to remind her that within that week, if it's not paid, I'm asking you to, it will revert back.
Right, but we're going to give them 30. If the motion passes.
Yeah.
Chair will entertain a motion reducing our lien amount to $1,000 payable within 30 days. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Oh, my. Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We've reduced your fine down to $1,000 payable to the city within 30 days, or the fine will revert back to the original amount, the lien amount.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Can I send your paperwork to the address I have for your mother, or somewhere else since you're local?
You have the 3816 address. What address do you have?
Yes, I have 3816 South Harvard.
26, let me give you another address. 26960 Hibiscus Street. And that's in Highland, California.
Highland?
Highland, uh-huh. 92346.
92346?
46.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Lien review number 2 and number 3 have been moved to our December meeting. Lien review number 4, which is CEB 071377, property located at 834 School Street, OPC Investments. Is there a representative of OPC Investments for, here? Yes, sir. If you'll come forward, state your name, relationship to the property owner, be sworn in, and then we'll hear from staff and give you an opportunity to respond.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Chung Tian. I'm the registered agent for OPC Investments.
Give me 1 second, Mr. Tian. Give Ms. Hampton an opportunity to write down your name.
T-I-E-N.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about the provider is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All righty, Mr. Tian, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give an opportunity to respond. Mr. Garcia?
Good morning. Once again, Hector Garcia, Community Standards Compliance Manager. We're here to review a lien that has been placed on 834 School Street. After reviewing the case, there was some miscommunication with the property owner in the sense of he had a tenant. This is a landlord and tenant issue. The tenant created the violations for the landlord. The landlord was under the assumption that once the tenant was evicted, all problems would go away. After he was informed, hey, you need to bring this property up into compliance, and he was given the proper direction, he immediately corrected the violations, although it did take some time, and the fine was already imposed, and it was accruing. Therefore, staff's recommendation is that the fine be reduced to $1,000 from the $8,300 that's currently the fine.
Okay. Mr. Tian, are you amenable to that? If not, just go ahead and give us your testimony, sir.
Well, I wanted to state it is my fault. I went back through my we manage quite a few properties. Actually, this is my first time before the board, for what that's worth. But I did look through all my paperwork. Sometimes my desk gets messy, and I did find the certified mail. Somehow I overlooked it. But in the meantime, I was in the process of evicting two tenants that were quite destructive to the property. And I had already been in the process of fixing up the property. And then I realized I got the order imposing fine, and I realized what had happened. I immediately contacted the city, and it took a little while. I believe Ms. Lankford was out for a while, and then I had her send me the list of items, most of which I already taken care of. So it was my fault for the passage of time, but I did realize I needed to bring the property into compliance, and I had already started it before I realized this process had started. $1,000 is a lot of money. We've suffered some damage to the property, and it's been vacant. As soon as it became vacant, I notified the city to take it off the license rolls, and it was properly licensed and inspected prior to all this. And I believe I put all this in the packet. So, I mean, $1,000 is a lot of money, combined with the repairs and the losses of rents. And I would, like to ask if maybe that can be further reduced. Thank you.
What are you asking the board to consider?
Well, something affordable would be $500. I mean, that's...
Mr. Tian, just want to remind you of the statements you've made. You acknowledge that you received the notices.
I did.
And that it was a slight on your part.
I did
so
receive it.
You're asking us to reduce the fine from $8,300 to $500. I just want to make sure I got you correct.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If that's possible, I would like to ask that.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
Is this a single family?
It's a duplex.
It's
I don't
a
know
duplex.
If, yeah, I don't know if the, that counts as a single
No.
Okay.
It's a duplex.
Okay. It's a duplex. Both, one side was occupied by a mother, the other side was occupied by her daughter, and it was a mess. I got them out as quickly as I could. In fact, I moved them with my truck and put their stuff in self-storage. I need to get them out, and I try to help them as much as I could. I mean, prior to this, and when I found out about the issues in the unit, I did not find out until after one of the tenants had called the city, and I'm like, you know, you should have told me about these things. I would have fixed them. You know, these were things that they had either caused or let go for so long to become a problem. So anyway, it's I'd like to put this behind me.
Gotcha. Any other questions from the board? Any motions to be entertained? Staff's recommendation is to reduce the fine down to $1,000. The respondent is asking that we reduce it to $500. So the chair will entertain any motions at this time.
Motion to accept code enforcement's $1,000 fine, reducing it to $1,000.
Motion on the floor to reduce the lien amount to $1,000 payable within 30 days, or the fine reverts back to the original amount. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and properly seconded. Motion made by Ms. Kundick, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Tien, what we've done is reduced your fine to $1,000 payable within 30 days, or the fine reverts back to the original lien amount. All righty?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Is that enough time?
I'll do what I can. I appreciate it.
Right. Okay. I was going to ask the board to consider giving the respondent 60 days opposed to the 30 days. Okay. If it's such a burden on him, the $1,000, then we'll recommend 60 days. But if it's not paid within the full 60 days, it goes automatically back, plus the interest accrued from the time frame.
Well, that's the norm. Would we amend the motion, or would we just...
I'll amend the motion. I'll amend my motion.
We already voted on that. All righty. All right. Chair will entertain a new motion reducing the respondent's lien to $1,000 payable within 60 days, or the lien reverts...
We've already made the motion. We need a motion to reconsider.
Okay. We need a motion to reconsider our previous motion because we have already voted. Is there such a motion? All righty.
Second.
Motion made and properly seconded to reconsider our previous motion on the lien review for case number 4. And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. At this time, we will reconsider our motion. Lien review number 4, reduce the lien amount to $1,000 payable within 60 days, or the fine reverts back to the original amount plus the accrued interest. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Kundig. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Again, Mr. Tien, what we've done is allowed you 60 days to make the $1,000 payment to the city, or the fine reverts back to the original amount plus the accrued interest. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
And the reason for the motion to reconsider is the motion to reconsider only can be done by someone who voted in the positive.
Gotcha.
We all voted in the positive anyway, so that was fine.
Gotcha. Got to make sure we do it appropriately. Thank you, Mr. Sino. All righty. Case number 1. We'll move to the hearing of our cases at this time. CB 1013110, Gabriel Jimenez and Magdalena Velasco. Is the respondent present? All righty. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Let's see if we're on here.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach, assistant city attorney, and for code enforcement. That was me. We're here on case number one, as you indicated, which is the property at 611 Weber Avenue. This is before the board for imposition of a fine for outside storage and failure to maintain the exterior. The sons of the owners have made contact with the city and applied for demo remodeling permit, and so we're asking that they amend to the next cut, that you amend to the next cutoff and give them time for that to be accomplished.
Is that enough time for the permit to be issued?
It's under review right now.
Okay. Questions from the board? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until December 4th to bring the property into compliance for return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 2 and 3 have been taken care of. Case number 4 is CB061356, James at Joseph Rakiki, property located at 488 Gulf Avenue. Is respondent present? Are you here for that property, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm okay. His neighbor, Dan Villa.
Okay, you're here to speak on his behalf?
Yes, sir.
Okay, state your name again for the record and raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Dan Villa, 483 Gulf Boulevard, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Can you spell your last name for me?
V-I-A.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You said you're his neighbor, Mr. Villa?
Yes, sir.
Did he give you authorization to speak on his behalf today?
No, he hasn't. He's incarcerated at this time, and I'm going to go, and going forward from today, because I work also, I'm going to try to get limited power of attorney to pull a permit to take care of the property.
Just for clarification, just from my understanding from the inspector, when you're asking that question, he's not asking whether you have written formal authorization. Have you talked with him and he's authorized you to speak on his behalf?
I have talked to him on the phone.
And he's authorized you to come on his behalf and deal with this man?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well,
all right. We'll hear from staff and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, Mr. Villa.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm sure the board remembers this case. This has been before the board for some time now. This is the property at 48 Gulf Avenue. Our most recent order required Mr. Rakiki to get some things done. He had indicated he was considering a variance, and he was working on that to occur. The information we have and our understanding, my understanding from the inspector is that he had actually applied for the variance, and I'm sorry, what are you showing me? He had actually applied for the variance and had done everything necessary, except he had not sent out all of the letters to the neighbors as was required. And prior to him being able to do that, he had a situation arise once again that resulted in him being incarcerated. And so since then, the report to us is that he's been, his neighbor has been assisting him in the sense that they have made a decision he wants to now demolish. And so if I'm understanding that correct, that's the status they're in. However, the status of the city is that this property has been on the agenda, or the city has been dealing with this property since April of this year. We've given Mr. Rakiki opportunities for whatever circumstances that are interfering with that in his personal life. We're not a part of that, but it has been a problem for the citizens, the community there, and the city is asking for a $100 fine to a maximum of $10,000, a $100 per day fine.
Mr. Villa?
Yes, sir.
What would you like to tell us?
And going forward from today, I'm going to try to take care of this with due diligence, and going forward from today.
Are you going to be able to get the permit to demolish?
Yes, I'm going to have to go to the jailhouse and have them give me the limited power of attorney
okay.
to pull the permit. And as soon as I pull a permit, I will demolish it myself.
And let me clarify, because for those who may not remember, when we say demolish, the problem was that the was a garage that was extended too far, and they'll demolish the portion or make whatever modifications that's required to be in compliance.
Is there anything structurally the matter with the garage?
No, ma'am.
So is this the way we now deal with paying fines? We just knock something down if we don't want to pay the fine or pay to fix it up?
No, he actually had the opportunity to get a variance. He just needed to inform his neighbors, but he chose to go ahead and demolish instead of informing his neighbors.
Well, he was incarcerated.
And we don't know if a variance would have been granted. He had the opportunity to pursue a variance.
Right.
Which, if the variance was not granted, he would have been required to remove it. He would not have had this as an option.
So you're only demolishing the part that he added on without the permit.
Exactly. I can leave 29 by 13 feet of his existing. And I believe it's only 8 to 12 feet by 8 feet.
To answer your question, he's going to have to, if he gets the power of attorney, he'll be acting as attorney of fact for Mr. Rakiki, and all permits will have to be applied for and approved before any work gets done. So again, maybe to answer you, co-chair, you're saying that, is that how we resolve things? No, we're asking for a fine as of right now until this thing gets resolved. Mr. Rakiki chose to go the route, and his personal issues have maybe prolonged his process, or we don't know. The problem here is that we've been dealing with this case for so long. He's had time and time again. Always something comes up. So this is the stance that we're taking now. I hope that answers your question.
It does.
Any other questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent $100 a day to a maximum of $10,000 or until the property is brought into compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion?
Yeah. No.
Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Villa, what we've done is we've put into place a fine of $100 a day up to $10,000 or until the property is brought into compliance. Mm-hmm. Once it's brought into compliance, you do have the option to appeal the lien, but the property does need to be brought into compliance. And again, that is an option if he chooses not to pay the fine, but it does go into effect today.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. All righty, case number CB1013111, Ocean Breeze Homeowners Condominium Association, and we may as well consider case number CB1013112, Beverly Appleby, which both cases are at the same property. If the board will remember, this was brought to us because of the, more or less an issue of the condo affecting Ms. Appleby's residence.
And I'd ask the board to remind the board that we also, number 7 is also part of this group. It was 3
That's another
cases. And so I'd ask if we consider all 3 of them.
All righty. In case number CB1013113. Last time this was before us, they had an attorney here, I believe. And Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
And I'll remind the board, last time that we were here, we had attorney Della Roche here, here, and he was here on behalf of the condo association. He had indicated that the condo association would take care of this matter. They were all ready and willing. You may recall we also had the property owner, Beverly Appleby, who was present. She was both complainant, but as the property owner, she also had the necessity for things to occur in and on her property for this to be resolved. In your packet, I believe, is it in our packet? Ms. Appleby sent correspondence to the city indicating and requesting a continuance, indicating she had a death in the family out of area where she needed to go resolve. If I don't want to misstate,
Thank you.
Well, it doesn't say here, but I believe it was her mother, is what she had indicated. If I'll go and pass this, but in general, it just says that she was asking for time, and her specific amount of time was, I'm not seeing it here. But I recall she was saying she wanted 60 days. And as you may recall, she had some concerns or issues regarding her relationship with the Homeowners Association as a whole. And so she has not been very willing or cooperative in the sense of having them there doing work, especially in her absence. So she's asking for a continuance, which actually will delay the efforts of the Homeowners Association to accomplish what's required here as well. So we're not in a position, or the position of the city is that they're not willing to grant a 60-day continuance on this. If, understanding the circumstances, though, we do see it reasonable to grant a continuance, and we would agree to a 30-days continuance so that understanding she her circumstance that has arisen, and expect that this should be in compliance by next cutoff.
The question I have, Mr. Jackson, that's with regard to Ms. Appleby's unit. Has the condo association done what it have they done what they could on the exterior? I know last time they were here, you know, we saw the pictures where they needed to get on the interior because the damage came from the exterior, went onto the interior. Have they began their work on the outside?
They're completed on the outside.
Yes, they're completed on the outside, and for the most part completed on what they see as the problem going into Ms. Appleby's unit. Obviously, they won't know that for certain until they work on resolve Ms. Appleby's unit and then see what the ultimate status is before we would clear it and say that it's all done.
And so am I to assume that Unit 204 has been fixed, but everybody's still related?
They're all related. The perspective is that it's been fixed. Of course, as I said before, until everything's done, don't know whether what they've done is sufficient. And so we would ask that it all be kept as one set of events and allow it to be completed as a whole so that whatever continuance be granted for all three to get us to the next point.
I'm sorry. I was reading that letter. Can you tell me about that Unit 204 again? Is the work inside there completed?
To the best, I mean, they're saying it's completed, but we won't know.
But it hasn't been inspected?
Well, completed to the extent of whether it's causing a problem in Ms. Appleby's unit still. We don't know that until they resolve the problems that are occurring within
Ms.
Appleby's.
She upstairs or downstairs?
She's underneath that unit.
She's downstairs. Is this Unit 204 upstairs?
Mm-hmm. Above her, yes. So the sufficiency of that their remedy will depend on what her outcome is, and we don't know what the status of her property is at this stage.
They're all connected because of her unit, and they can inspect her unit.
Well, if her unit is a downstairs unit, how is...
Remember, it was the exterior was coming from the walls through the unit.
Well, how does that affect the upstairs unit? If the outside is fixed, why isn't the upstairs unit in compliance?
I think I read somewhere in the pictures that...
And I'll ask if you, the board will hear from Mr. Garcia.
Okay. The primary complaint was is that the exterior was causing a leak.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At the same token, Unit 204, their air conditioning, the condensation from their air conditioner, as well as the exterior, was causing a leak into Ms. Appleby's apartment.
Right.
Therefore, we cumulatively did Unit 204, Mrs. Appleby's, as well as the HOA, as one case. We don't want to separate one from the other until we know that all the repairs have been made and everything is in compliance.
Okay, and I don't see on this letter when she intends to come back.
That's why we're saying, originally I believe she spoke and asked for 60 days.
I'm sorry. Yeah, in fact, she's called numerous times. She's left me voicemails, and she's talked with Ms. Hampton, and she's indicated she wanted 60 days. I was looking on the letter as well. I knew it was in my mind, but that was from presumably from the conversation that we had with her.
And staff's position is to do 30?
That's correct.
Correct.
Well, I'm just, my memory serves me correctly, she wanted to get this done expeditiously, so I do not understand why she would request almost 2 months for this to be handled. When she was here last time, Board, if you remember, she was glad that this was going to be handled expeditiously, and I think we need to consider expeditious handling of this. And Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondents until December 4th. To bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. And again, that will be cases 10131111, 10131112, 10131113. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion?
Yes. I don't understand, if this problem has been ongoing for a year and a half, why we're not finding them today. I mean,
The problem was going to, well, I guess in the hands, if I can respond somehow, and then Hector, if you want to, when they came before us last time, they needed to have the permission of the residents to go in their units and fix the problem that the condo association had started. When they came before us last time, they stated that the problem would be handled. I would have assumed that they would have handled it by now, but due to Ms. Appleby asking for a additional time, since she had a death in the family, that's the reason it's not in compliance. And recognizing that she did suffer that loss, but also recognizing her urgency of wanting it to have it fixed, was the reason didn't have a problem giving the additional days for it to be done. But to put a fine in place at this time, would, because of her request, would almost be harsh, if you will. But Mr. Garcia, if you want to respond.
Is her letter considered testimony?
Yes, I would believe that. I would believe it. I would see it as testimony in administrative proceeding.
It's been a long time.
But if I can say, Ms. Kundig, I mean, certainly you can rely on what she has in her letter, but our case started in May.
Yeah.
But if you remember from her...
Still a long time.
I understand. I don't disagree. But if you remember from when she was present, that she had other issues as well that she has with the HOA, and she's tying all those issues into this one issue, which is our, which is really separate from our code issue. And it's those other issues, I think, that are the more trying ones for her in terms of her trust and so forth with her homeowners association, which is not issues for the code board or for the code division.
And if I just may add, there was a holdup in the permit. By the time they applied for it, it was reviewed, and then it was granted. So there's time frames there. Again, certain things are out of either the respondent's control or out of our control, and sometimes there are hiccups along the way that we have to look for this. That's why, with discussion with our attorney, you know, we understand there was a death in the family, but 60 days is not feasible. Let's cut it down to 30 and see what happens from there.
Any other questions from the board? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries with the one abstention by Ms. Kundig. All right, case number 8, which is CB 10131115, FOA Tiffany Estate, property located at 919 North Wild Olive Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Give me 1 second. I'll wipe my eyes. I just can't read. Okay. Members of the board, this is the property at 919 North Wild Olive. This is before the board for imposition of a fine. This is an unoccupied structure. And we have been in communication with the son of the deceased, who has been adamant of having no interest in this property and not wanting to do or planning to do anything concerning it. So we're left with a vacant eyesore. And so the position of the city is to request for a $150 per day fine to a maximum of $10,000.
Okay. Mm.
Is there a mortgage on this house? Do we know? Does that matter? No.
For us, at this point, no, it doesn't matter.
Any other questions?
My concern, once again, is that this guy doesn't want anything to do with this house, so instead of paying the fine, we'll just decide to knock it down. That's...
Well, that will alleviate the problem.
It would alleviate the problem, you're right.
All right, any other questions? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion fining a respondent $150 a day with a cap of $10,000 or until the property is brought into compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Himes, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none.
If I could just, for Ms. Kundick's answer, I was reminded by the inspector that there was a list pending file last month, I believe it was. So that would indicate that there's a mortgage. So something eventually should happen with the property.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 9, which is CB081387, is in compliance as of the 31st of October. Case number CB1013116 is in compliance as of the 31st of October. Case number CB1013117, Raymond A. Brewster, property located at 341 Fulton Street. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
That's on the move. Praise God. Okay, this is the property at 319 San Juan Avenue. I'm on the wrong one, number
341 Fulton.
Okay, this is the property at 341 Fulton Street. And this is here from the position of a fine. The inspector is Edwin Lopez. This is another vacant property. As you see, the violations are related to the windows, glazing. Material shall be maintained free from cracks and holes. And so at this point, the staff is requesting a fine of $100 per day to a maximum of $15,000.
Mr. Lopez, has Mr. Brewster been in contact with you at all? Or?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I spoke with Mr. Brewster when I sighted him on the property. He lives out in Port Orange, I believe. I requested for him to obtain permits and repair the property. And as of today's date, nothing has been done.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent $150 per day with a cap of $15,000. Or until compliance is reached. Is there such a motion?
Now, if I can clarify, I only asked for $100 per day.
I'm sorry. Let me amend the order. Withdraw your motion. All right. Let me restate the motion. Chair will entertain a motion finding a respondent $100 per day with a cap of $15,000 or until the property is brought into compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 12, CB1013121, Christopher House of Hope, property located at 319 San Juan Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This one is now we're at 319 San Juan, and nothing's been done. No contact. Was posted in September, and here we are. So the staff is asking for a fine of $100 per day to $15,000.
Any questions?
Have you been in touch with someone?
No.
Mr. Sino had a question as well.
Service on the registered agent?
I'm showing return receipt was signed on 9/25/13. I'll have to see.
Okay, good.
In the folder, who that was to, but that's what my notes indicate.
Nyla Muhammad, looks like, signed both for the
property owner's address and the registered agent is the same.
Okay.
And there was a signature on 925-13.
All right, any other questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion to fine the respondent $100 a day with a cap of $15,000 or until the property is brought into compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Kundig. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Moving to our new cases, CB 1113132, the Mather Group Incorporated, doing business as the Cove Motel, property located at 1306 North Atlantic Avenue. Is the respondent present?
Yes, I am.
If you come forward, please, sir, state your name and your address and your relationship to the owner.
My name is Ernest Ippisch.
Mr. Ippisch, if you could spell your last name for us.
I-P-P-I-S-C-H.
All right, Mr. Ippisch, your relationship to the property owner?
Yeah, I'm one of the owners.
Okay, if you can raise your right hand and be sworn in, please.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, Mr. Ippisch, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Chair, this is before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance. You may recall it was on the agenda last month, and I continued I guess Mr. Ippisch is from out of town, or?
I'm from out of town.
Yes. And so the circumstance as of right now is that it's still a noncompliance. With the staff is asking for next cutoff. It's the stairwell doors on each floor have been removed, and they must be self-closing, so they need to get that repaired. This is a fire inspection case, and he needs that repaired by next cutoff.
Okay. Mr. Newell.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is a four-story, should pictures be up there, four-story hotel on North Atlantic Avenue. For some time they have an interior stairwell that is required to be enclosed. They also have an exterior stairwell, which is not. The doors were there at one point, unknown when they were taken out. However, they are required to be there and in self-closing. Again, like Mr. Jackson said, they've known about it for a little while, and we'd like to go to the next cutoff to be able to, for compliance.
Okay. Mr. Ippisch, prior to taking your testimony, do you acknowledge that the violation did exist at the time of notice?
There are no doors on there right now, if you want to call it a violation.
Okay.
But I'd like to address the board.
Yes, sir.
And tell them why the doors aren't there. We've owned the hotel for 11 years. The doors were not there when we bought the motel. Contacted the former owner. He said they were not there also. He had it for 8 years. So almost 20 years now, the doors are not there, and there's a very good reason. They create a very serious, hazardous condition to the occupants of the building. And I'll tell you why. It has to do with the construction of the building itself when it was built back in 1954. Coming down those stairs, you're in inches of that door that the code officer wants us to put on. If somebody comes down that steps and somebody opens that door, they're going to hit that person and knock them down the next flight. It shows on the picture, it's only 2.5 feet from that door to the next flight. Now, when I was there and the officer, Mr. Newell, was with me, I was there at the time last year, and I said to him, and we were standing in that doorwell, and I said to him, you know, if somebody's coming down those steps and I open that door and I went like that and I hit an occupant, a guest coming down the stairs. Now, had that been a door, I could very easily have knocked him right down that next flight of steps. It's a very dangerous situation. They must have been removed because somebody saw that. What we're asking us to do is put on doors that are going to cause a much greater hazard. I think Mr. Newell, he can attest to that. It happened, didn't it? You were standing right there, and I gestured, and bang, I hit this fella coming down the stairs. Of course, it was only my hand, so it didn't cause a great impact. A door? Absolutely. And that's what we're asking the board or the code officer to consider, not replacing those doors. They are a very, very big hazard. Well, and that's the reason why we haven't done it, by the way.
Gotcha. Okay. Mr. Ippisch, that would actually be something you would have to take up with the building department and not the code enforcement. At this time, we can only deal with the matters that are on the books.
I understand. I didn't know that. If I had known that, I would have done that. We would have done that a year ago.
And just for further clarification, Mr. Brown, my understanding, and I'll ask Mr. Newler if you need him to address it further, but those are national safety standards that he doesn't have any control over.
Right.
Those, you know, if he wants to convince someone that the national standards should be different, I'm not sure where he would go to do that.
Well, I pushed it to building, but the responsibility is not on us. Just so you know, Mr. Ipish,
all right.
It's beyond our control. Those are just standards that are out there. What needs to be done, I cannot direct you, but it just has to be brought into compliance because it is against code at this time. Considering that you've acknowledged it, how long do you think it would take for you all to fix the problem?
At least 60 days.
Okay.
I mean, let me ask you this, though. We would like to have those doors never put on there. However, do I have to put the doors on and then take them back off again if I can get the city to agree that they're a bigger hazard?
You'll have to meet with staff, but the law requires that the doors are on there. And beyond that, there, staff can direct you who you need to contact to see if you can get, you know, as far as the code. But the code as is right now states that the doors would have to be there. And so what we're hearing is that you would need 60 days to get them in place.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Is there any kind of the appeals process to that? I mean, does he have any kind of I know that's the law.
The authority having jurisdiction, which essentially would be us, or at the highest ranking officer would be the fire chief, could overrule that. However, I have not spoke to him on that to determine whether he would or he would not. I can say, you know, pretty much what the code says. What the owner said is, you know, as far as the doors are concerned, yes, it opens into the area of refuge or the area that somebody would go in the event that there was a fire in that area or on the floors. So being able to open in that way, that's the way it is because it has to swing in the means of egress or the direction of travel. So we did discuss that. However, my documentation and what we have to go by states it has to be a fire-rated door and has to open in the means of egress. So that's unfortunate. I mean, that's exactly what I have to go by, what the code says.
Is this state law?
No, ma'am. This is the National Fire Protection Association.
Okay.
This is nationally. That's what we go by. It's adopted through Florida statutes and then through the ordinance of the city of Daytona Beach.
Okay.
When you were notified in December of 2012, did you make any attempt to contact your own engineer or architect to get
in response? In response to that, in talking to Mr. Newell, I asked him, you know, is there anything you can do for us so we don't have to put a door on to cause this condition? He said he would review it and get back to us.
Okay. My question
did
you ever talk to anybody who might be able to remedy the situation for you? Did you have an expert?
No, because I didn't know who to talk to. I'm only here 6 months of the year, and I didn't know who to talk to. Mr. Newell was supposed to get back with to help us with this, to steer us in the right direction, and you didn't. You know, you were supposed to.
I don't know that that's his job. I think that when you're notified that there's a problem, you should make some effort to contact the person who might be able to correct that. And if you had some evidence that from the licensed contractor says, if I put these up, it's going to cause this problem, then we would have some place to go at that point. But now all we have is your saying that this causes a hazard. And you're not, and
well,
you
again,
feel like
I'm
putting the doors up.
Again, I'm relying on Mr. Newell to help me here because he reviewed the problem with me. He saw the problem. He was supposed to talk to whoever, somebody, and get back to us with an answer. And he never did. And I assumed that, well, I guess we're okay the way we are. It's just going to be left the way it is. And so we didn't go any further with it.
Mr. Newell, if I might ask, with the chief having the authority to do whatever, is the 60 days enough time for Mr. Ipish and the owners to appeal or do whatever they need to do?
Yeah, all they have to do is request to meet with the fire chief. He'll then get with me and find out what the code requires and then make a determination on that. And in response to getting back with him on that, I spoke to, I don't know if it was his daughter and the maintenance guy, you know, on one or two occasions. Maybe that didn't get transported or transferred to him because I think, I don't know if you were out of town at the time or whatever the case is, but I did, while I didn't have the contact with him on that go back, I'm not sure if it was your daughter at this point, I can't remember, and then the maintenance gentleman. So I did not have contact with him, but I did have contact with people on the property.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes.
I hear them saying about the date. But isn't it true it's just like a debt? The responsibility still is
on the owner.
Regardless whether anyone came back to you or not, as it will be today.
Mr. Ippich, what she is saying is you hinted toward that you were waiting on a call back from Mr. Newell, but the responsibility is on you all as the owners to get this addressed. You know, whether Mr. Newell returned the call or didn't, again, that's, you know, neither here or there. The responsibility rests on you all as the owners to get the problem fixed. But I hope you have heard well that what you need to do is contact the fire chief if you want to get this problem alleviated in any other way. But we have to consider the item that is before us today. You have acknowledged that the issue did exist, and you're asking the board to give you 60 days to try and get this problem worked out. So that is the item that will be considered before the board once we have asked all the questions that the board has to ask. Any other questions from the board at this time?
Can I make a statement, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Can we maybe put in there that contact with the fire chief within the 30 days and completion of, if it's not made of a variance by the authority having jurisdiction, that within the 60 days the doors are put up prior to that 60 days?
Well, I don't know if we need to do that versus just allowing 60 days for the property to be brought into compliance. Those are the steps that would need to be taken by the owner.
Understood.
When he comes to compliance, that's his decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've given him 60 days if the motion passes, right, and then that's up to him. He needs to be in compliance then.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions from staff? I mean, from the board? All righty. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until January 1st to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So
second.
Motion made by Ms. Hines, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Maybe we need further discussion then.
What happened is that I'm not in favor of 60 days. I'm in favor of his coming back in 30 days.
Okay.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
Aye.
Madam Clerk, call the roll, please.
Ms. Lubitz?
No.
I'm sorry?
No. Ms. Lubitz, can you speak into the mic, please?
Sorry, let me make sure it's on. There we go.
No.
Ms. Hines?
Yes.
Mr. Bourne?
No.
Ms.
No.
Mr. Smart?
No.
Mr. Harrington?
No.
And Mr. Brown?
No. Motion fails.
All right. We have one. Yes.
Okay. Motion fails. Chair will entertain any motions at this time.
Make a motion to find the Mather Group in noncompliance and give them 30 days to come into compliance or face a fine of up to $150 a day.
$1,000
a day.
Ms. Lubitz, could you just restate that to say the next cutoff date instead of the next cutoff date is not quite 30 days, unless it is your intent to give them actually.
No, it's not my intent to do that.
Just say next cutoff.
Make a motion to fund the Mather Group at the Cove Motel at 1306 North Atlantic Avenue in noncompliance and give them till the next cutoff date, which is
to bring the property into compliance.
December 4th to bring the property into compliance or face a fine of up to $1,000 per day.
All right. Motion has been made to find the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until next cutoff to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Kundick, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Mr. Ippich, is so that you know, as your own acknowledgement, we found you in noncompliance. We've given you 30 days or until next cutoff, if you will, to bring the property into compliance. Whatever you decide to do, we ask that you stay in contact with Mr. Newell so that if the matter has been alleviated, he can inform the board of that. Again, I hope you pay close attention and do what's necessary as an owner, whatever you all decide that you want to do to bring the property in compliance. Thank you, sir.
Sir, the address that Mr.
Ippisch.
The address that we have on file, I know you said you're out of town, but the 13 of 6 months, you'll get paperwork there.
That's who you want to send all for us.
Okay.
All right.
I just wanted to make sure.
Thank you, sir. Next case is CB1113122, Melvin Grody, property located at 332 Woodland Avenue. Is the respondent present?
On behalf of.
All right, sir, if you can come to the microphone, state your name, give us your address and your relationship to Mr. Grody, please.
My name is Maurice Matthew Hornstein. My address is 2707 Big John Drive in D-Land. My relationship to him is I'm a church member with him. I go to his church. I'm here on behalf for him.
Can you just say your name one more time, please, sir?
Maurice Matthew Hornstein.
H-O-R-N-S-T-I-N.
E-I-N,
correct. E-S-T-I-N, yes.
You raise your right hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Hornstein, we'll hear from staff at this time, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
This is the property at 332 Woodland Avenue, and the board, to be reminded that this has been a property that has been before the board in the past and cited for violation of outside storage. So this is a repeat violation request, and I will ask for Tom Klee, who is the inspector, to describe the circumstance as they are now. The staff is requesting a $1,000 fine. As you remember, this was quite contentious. I actually wasn't here, but I did get all the info.
This case is neighborhood complaints. Again, that was on October 4th. I got a call that this gentleman, Mr. Godai's partner, was running a scrap business again out of the driveway. Apparently what he was doing was scrapping the materials at night and then leaving them at the driveway for us in the morning. I talked to Mr. Godai, I think yesterday. I think he says he's got some cancer treatment problems. He admitted that his partner was out of this truck running a business against scrapping metal, and I did tell him that it is against our ordinance to have the stuff off the street, off this driveway. But he said his problem was is that he believes the neighborhood is singling him out because of his relationship with this gentleman. So,
Mr. Clegg, is this the same case that was before us? The gentleman acknowledged that he was going to get the property cleaned up but not have it happen again?
Right.
And it's happened again.
And he's going around the city, he says, to help beautify the city by go getting scrap, bringing it back to his house.
And leave
scrap.
It out.
Right.
All right. Any questions for staff from the board before we hear from Mr. Hornstein? Mr. Hornstein, if you'll come to the microphone, sir, what can you tell us?
I can tell you that Mr. Grody is he's dealing with cancer, and he's just getting over pneumonia. That's why he's not here. He didn't want to be subjected to the germs or whatever. He's safer at home. That's why he's not here today. In the pictures that I'm seeing,
Mr. Grody, if you can just move a little closer so we can get you recorded, you can still look at the
Mr. Hornstein.
I mean, look at the Mr. Hornstein. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I know for a fact that that Mr. Grody has nothing to do with what's going on outside of his house. Obviously I don't, because they're showing a picture of stuff within his truck or whatever. But I believe that since the last case, and he was told that he's not supposed to be scrapping and leaving stuff by the side of the road, the other tenant of the house, his partner, whatever you want to say, hasn't been doing that. It's not anything like it was. There isn't. I go by there occasionally. I'm there 2 days a week. I go there and check on him from just to see how he's doing. Why not see if he needs anything? I bring him whatever he needs. Hasn't been stuff in the yard, and not that I've seen. Not like it was. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? What this picture? I don't know what they're seeing there. I mean, there's something in the back of the truck. What was the complaint? I mean, what is exactly the complaint?
Well, in this picture, you can see chairs are in his driveway, and then the next
people
picture.
People sit in the chairs? I think
no,
that's
but you see the next picture, he dumped the chairs in the property next to him. And also, there's a TV set that was out front. He had another mattress out there with a metal right there. The TV set right there.
Uh-huh.
And then the next picture will show you where he's got the chairs in the pile next door, because he didn't want to be right there. That chair right there that you said he was sitting on?
Mr. Clegg, that's an October 4th, October 4th picture?
Yeah, that's, I believe, October 4th, and then I just got another picture on the 13th of August, probably November.
You know, I don't know about that chair. I know the people next door have been renovating that house either way. It's as far as the TV, if the TV doesn't work, it gets put out on the porch. What is it? Where is he supposed to take it to the dump? I mean, he can't put it out by the road for the garbage man. What is he supposed to do? I mean, I'm not trying to justify his actions by any means. I'm just asking what would be the proper method for him to do that. You know what I'm saying? Four houses down. I rode down the street today. Four houses down there on the same street, on the same side of the street, a lady has, her yard looks worse than that. On her front porch, there's a lot of junk. On the street, before you get off the street towards Atlantic, there's a house with boarded up windows, and you can't even see the house from the overbrush and the overgrown of the trees. So they said to me, yeah, we're being singled out because the neighbors don't like them because of the way they are. Now, whether that's the case or not, I don't know. I'm here just today to tell you that Mr. Grody is not responsible. It is his roommate. I can tell you right now that I was at the house this morning, and it's not like that right now. There isn't any trash out front. There may be a couple of chairs, but I said, what's up with these chairs? He said, they sit in them. They're against the fence in front of the truck. If you can go back to the last picture.
Actually, just hold it right here one second. Mr. Clegg, next to the power line right there, is that in front of the house?
No, it's in front of the house where the TV set is, but he was dumping his trash. He emitted it in his neighbor's yard right next to him.
So the pile of stuff right next to that telephone pole.
Right, that's...
That's a shower glass door, I think, or whatever.
Right.
What is that?
That's a glass door.
Yeah, that came from the neighbors. That came from the yellow house next door to it.
He's been dumping his chair and so forth on the neighbor to the west of him right there. Because he didn't want to be accused of having trash in front of his yard.
So let me make sure I got this right.
One house to the right.
The respondent, Mr. Grody,
right,
acknowledged that he was dumping trash in someone else's yard so that he would not...
He admitted that his partner was. He said he had no control over his partner, who he lives with.
But he has control of his property.
Right.
Okay.
He has control of his property. That's what I'm trying to explain.
I think that was an existing pile. That's why he felt the right to put that chair on it already. Because I used to live... I lived with them 2 years ago. I rented a room from Melvin. He didn't have any he didn't have any glass shower doors in his house. That's not from him.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Hornstein from the board? All righty. Staff had a recommendation on a fine.
$1,000.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent $1,000, since this is a matter that has been brought to us again. It had come up before. How do we handle repeat violators? This is a matter being handled right in front of us. When the property comes back to us, we go immediately to a fine. There is no finding of noncompliance, since the property had already been found in noncompliance, and the violation is back to us again. So just FYI there. Motion on the floor. The chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent $1,000 for the repeat violation. For such a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Ms. Hines. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Hornstein, if you want to relay to the property owner that he's been fined $1,000 for the repeat violation.
For the TV being out front.
For the repeat violation of all of the items that are being out front. Thank you, sir, for your time. All right, case number CB1113123, Blue Mountain Management LLC and 4M Food Mart Incorporated, property located at 740 North Ridgewood Avenue. Is a respondent present? Seeing not. No.
He was here.
No.
Did he go in the back?
He just went out.
That's what I thought.
She
said. Sir, are you here for 740 North Ridgewood?
Yes.
All right. If you would come to the front, please, sir. State your name and address and relationship to the property owner.
My name is Paul Blauberg. I'm a member of Blue Mountain Management.
Paul, if you could spell your last name for us.
B as in boy, LAUBERG.
Can I write my address? It's not square or funny. If you have something you'd like to provide,
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Mr. Blauberg, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I've been advised that that there's been progress made on the violations. This is before the board for compliance or noncompliance. The staff is asking that at this time they be found in noncompliance and they be given until next cutoff to complete the repair of violations.
Okay. We'll give Mr. Blauberg a moment. He's with staff. Mr. Blauberg, prior to your testimony, do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice? That the violations existed at the time you were notified?
Yes.
Okay. Staff, before we hear from you, staff's recommendation is to give you until December 4th to bring the property into compliance. Is that amenable to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Did you have any testimony you wanted to give today?
No.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until December 4th to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Just so you know, Mr. Blauberg, we've given you until December 4th to bring the property into compliance.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. All righty. Case number CB1113124, Laura Schmal and Craig Bryson, JTRS, property located at 126 Rosalind Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Chair, this is another where I have a letter and a file. I don't know if y'all have a copy of that at all as well.
That's me.
Okay, and this basically apologizes for the delay in getting everything remedied and a plan to have it all done within 30 days. So that's consistent with the position of the city. The city says that it is non-compliance, and we're asking for next cutoff, and I will share this with the staff. With the board.
Any questions? Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in non-compliance, allowing the respondent until December 4th to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Is there any questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 17, CEB1113125, Arnold and Yasmin King, is in compliance as of the 2nd of November. Case number CEB1113126, Secured Capital, is in compliance as of the 29th of October. Case number CEB1113127, Ronald Howe, the property is in compliance as of November 2nd, 2013. Case number CEB1113128, Luke Childs Jr. and Christine Childs, property located at 336 Fulton Street. Is the respondent present? You make your way to the microphone, sir and ma'am, and state your name, relationship to the property owner, if that is not you.
Yeah, it's me, Luke Childs, my name.
Yes, sir. If you can give us your address, Mr. Childs.
728 Road, Daytona Beach, Florida.
All right.
What was that address?
728 Road, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Okay.
Ma'am, will you be testifying as well?
Yes.
Okay, if you can state your name, please.
Sabrina Montgomery, 720 Essex Road, Daytona Beach, Florida. And I'm his daughter.
Okay. Ms. Montgomery, Mr. Childs, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Can I
I'm sorry.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Thank you. Sorry about that, Amy. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This case is a before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance, and this is a landlord-tenant situation. I've been informed that they've taken care of the situation regarding the tenant, and we're just at a point now of being able to get the violations remedied. So The staff is requesting that you find them in noncompliance and you give them till the next cutoff to remedy the violations.
Are we combining cases 1113128 and 1113129?
Yes, that would be sufficient to handle both of those cases. We believe next cutoff, one is interior, the other is exterior.
Okay. All right, Mr. Childs, Ms. Montgomery, before we hear your testimony, if you would like to testify, you can come up to the microphone. Do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What staff is recommending, based on conversation with you, is giving you until December 4th to bring the property in compliance. Is that amenable?
I ain't got the people out of the house yet.
Okay. I need to tell you. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Come on up.
What has happened? Every time that we try to go and get in to get it, all the work done and repairs done, it's been an issue with the tenant and her boyfriend. So what has happened, every time we would try to go and do the repairs or they would notify, we didn't know a lot of the stuff in the house was that bad because they tore up a lot of the stuff. So when we try to go in, she always has the boyfriend there. He never lets us in the property. The cops get called saying that we're trying to evict them and different things. So that's what has been going on. We did do the eviction, but judgment did not come down until yesterday. So we have to do the eviction today. And as soon as they do the eviction and they serve the notice, we can go and get all the repairs done. Because it's been so much going on with dogs and dogs being put out the door to sick on my dad and just simply letting us come in to comply. So that's why it has not already been done. A lot of that, it has already been prepared, and we now have to go back and repair it again. So that's what we're in the process of doing.
Mr. Jackson, what is the timeline, since they stated that they do have an eviction in hand? What's the timeline for that to go in place, for them to be able to go in? Do you know?
Mr. Bourne knows that stuff better than I do. as far as to
I mean, I'm sure there's a timeline.
Yeah, I mean, they can go immediately to exercise the writ.
We have 24 hours to get out once a writ.
Yeah, so, I mean.
We don't know where they are. No.
We were advised not to go back on the premises because of how he was acting, but we did get the judgment yesterday, but we just got it at 5:23, so we were going to do it after we left here today. So
okay.
They can go ahead and do the 24-hour, and then we can go and proceed and getting everything redone. Because we have to, it was done, but now we have to redo. All that stuff that's on those pictures, those items have been repaired already before they even moved in. But now we have to go back and do it again.
How long do you think it would take, Ms. Montgomery, Mr. Childs, to repair what has been noted?
For a year, it was 2 months.
You're asking for 60 days?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now, I will say that in speaking with the inspector, the nature of the conditions, whether it's the landlord or the tenant's fault,
right,
are such that the inspector really would like to see this done in the next 30 days and want to know that they've given a strong, diligent effort to accomplish it because it can be done with adequate effort. That's the position of the inspector.
We couldn't get there. Well, I'm retired, and I ain't making a lot of money. Understand what I'm saying? They're well behind on their rent. One thing, they owe a lot of money for that. And I got to have time to get it prepared. That's all I got. All I'm asking for. And I think that's fair enough. That's all I can do. I ask for more time. If they don't give it to me, just don't give it to me. But I'm asking for it because I need more than 30 days.
Yes, sir. Mr. Bryant?
Charles Bryant, project manager for the redevelopment department. This property, I think, is in the redevelopment area. On behalf of the property owner, I've known him for probably 45 years, and he has been a good citizen of Daytona Beach. He also is a minister out in Pearson, where I grew up. And I do believe if he says he's going to get it repaired in 60 days, he will. And I'm asking the board, please give him the time that he needs to get it repaired.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Any questions from the board for staff or the respondent? All right. Chair will entertain a motion, find the respondent in noncompliance, and allow the respondent until January 1st. to bring the property into compliance. We return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Amy, take your pick. Motion made by Mr. Barnes, seconded by Ms. Himes. That way we'll, you know, mix it up between male and female, Mr. Smart. Any discussion?
$1,000 a day.
Hold on, sir. We'll explain it to you.
Okay.
We'll explain it to you. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Mr. Childs, is we've allowed you until January 1st to bring the property into compliance. If it is not achieved by that time, you can be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. But we essentially, we've given you until January to bring the property into compliance. And again, please stay in contact with the inspector so that once everything is done, he is able to note that the property has been brought into compliance and you don't have to be returned to the board.
I got one more question. Could I pull his permit?
You would actually have to discuss that with the building department. We're not, again, in that business of letting you know. Certain items you can as an owner, but then certain things you have to be licensed to do. But again, the building department will be able to direct you there.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you all for your time. Case number CB1113130, Deshaun Edwards Wilder, property located at 564 Magnolia Avenue. Is the respondent present? What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
He contacted me and said he had doctor's appointments this morning for his children, wasn't going to be able to make it today. He was going to send something in writing, I believe, asking for it to be continued, but I referred him to the inspector, so I'm not sure if he touched base with you.
If he did call, I haven't checked my messages. But this property has been cited before by other officers, and it still looks in the same state. It's really an eyesore. A lot of violations. It's just blatantly. It needs to be repaired. It hasn't been done so within the past 5 years since I checked the records from other officers that have cited him, cited this property.
Okay. Ms. Hampton, so the call did come to you from Mr. Wilder?
Yes.
So he's acknowledged that he received the letter?
He acknowledged he received it, but he couldn't find it, so he didn't have the inspector's number, so that's why I gave him the inspector's number and transferred him to Mr. Lopez's extension. I also gave him my email address to send me something in writing, and I've just checked my emails again. I don't see anything, but it may be.
And I believe that the Mr. Chair, I believe that the testimony of the inspector will be that he's had actual contact with him as well.
Okay. Yes, I have. Correct.
All right. Well, seeing the respondent is not present, I think it is our standard protocol. Noncompliance next cutoff. Again, if he needs more time, he needs to make an appearance or speak with the inspector. Any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until December 4th to bring the property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Yes.
Motion made by Mr. Smart. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Coonerty. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB1113131, Mohammed Kabaze. Property located at 812 Magnolia Avenue. I believe the respondent is present. If not, sir, if you can come to the microphone, state your name, address. If you're not the respondent, give us your relationship to the respondent.
Mohammed Kabaze, 103 West Ohio, DeLand, Florida.
All righty, Mr. Kabaze, if you can state your address again.
103 West Ohio, DeLand, Florida.
All right, Mr. Kabaze, if you can be sworn in, please, and then we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, sir. We'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, on this case, this is before the board for compliance or noncompliance. Edwin Lopez is the inspector. In this situation, as the photos will show, and as in speaking with the inspector, there's an indication that some work has been done, no permits have been pulled, and what the staff is asking for is that he be found in noncompliance and be given till next cutoff to bring the property into compliance.
All right. Mr. Kabaze, you can come to the microphone at this time. Do you acknowledge that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes, Your Honor, I do.
Okay. What can you tell us, sir?
This property was purchased with the intent to relocate and make it as a homestead for me. The economical environment has turned to the worst, and I could not afford to get it to get a loan doing. Last year, I was contacted by a gentleman by name of Hassan Faris to purchase the property. He asked me for 120 days time to inspect the property, and I have been trying to contact him. He's out of the area. The last answer that he is not interested in it because there was a lien on the property. So the sale has failed. I have paid $2,000 for plans for the property, but unfortunately I cannot get the loan to do any construction. So at this time I would like to ask for consideration for the lien to be reduced, and I will demolish the property.
Well, there is actually no lien in place.
I believe there is.
Just clarification, there's nothing from this case. I don't know if he has from a past case, if there's a lien. I don't know, sir. About that. Is there someone that does? Okay, apparently that history of that the inspector indicated of past non-repair must be where we're. Was that?
No, it's a different case.
He was here earlier, wasn't he?
Oh. He's been previously sworn.
He's on the swear or affirm that the testimony about provides such as the whole person up about the truth?
I do.
Swear or. All right. Mr. Stinson, if you can fill us in, please, sir, as to the bewilderment on our faces.
This case you're hearing before you is the second case on this property. I had a prior case on this property back in 2009, which resulted in a running fine, excuse me, which is currently maxed out at $15,000. There has been no change in the property other than movement of the tarp.
Okay. And, all right, Mr. Capazze, you're stating that you're going to get a permit to demo the property?
Yes, Your Honor. I cannot afford doing any repair at this time.
Okay. What's the, if you're able to state, Mr. Jackson, Mr. Stinson, what's the timeline for the permits to demo?
The demo can be done by the next cutoff.
Okay.
Permits and all.
All right. Any questions from the board for staff or the respondent?
Mr. Stinson, wasn't this property occupied after 2009?
Not to my knowledge.
And not to my knowledge either.
What was the request, with that being stated, Mr. Stinson, for the occupational license, if it hasn't been occupied?
That's Mr. Lopez's case.
Oh, okay. Mr. Lopez, just for the clarity on the violations, the request for the occupational license, if it's not occupied.
It could be dropped. If he's not going to rent the property, he will not need the license, but he's stating that he's going to demo the property. If he's going to demo the property, then obviously the violation will be
all of that
cured,
will be.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, sir.
We need to get a permit for a demo permit.
Right.
Before we I can. Don't know what year the house was built. He might need to get an inspection for asbestos, and that would take some more time. So,
okay,
I don't think it's probably feasible to do it within 30 days. But that'll be for Mr. Jackson to decide.
Mr. Smart, you had a question?
No, my question was same issue with the occupational license.
Okay. All righty.
Can I please?
Yes, sir, Mr. Capazze, go ahead.
This is the first time that. I know about the occupational license because that property was never rented.
Okay.
We have a problem previously with people just moving in, and we posted a no trespassing sign more than once. I even when I got the pictures from the code enforcement, it shows people standing in front of it with the no trespassing sign, and nothing was done to it.
Okay.
I have contacted the police department a couple of times to enforce that. But it was not done, and I was fined for it at the first time. I had to chase the person out of the place a couple of times, clean up behind them, and that was the cause for the first citation, which I was fined $15,000, according to what the record is showing today. That so I would kindly ask you to consider reducing the lien?
So well, that is not before us today, but if you demo the property, that will have to be brought to us through a lien review. Mr. Kabaze, you've stated that you're going to apply for a license to have the property demolished.
I have at this time.
Okay, not to get too much into your personal business. Will 30 days be enough time you to apply for the license?
It is enough to apply, but it's not enough to bring it.
That's something that we'll have to deal with later. Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, please. How long have you owned this property?
2010. At that time, I was hoping that the economical environment would be different and I could get a loan. Unfortunately, I could not secure a loan.
So you bought this property knowing that the fine was in place in 2009?
No. Then I probably bought it in 2009. I really don't recall I got it. But I got the fine myself.
Any other questions from the board?
In terms of the motion, we're finding him, number one, in non-compliance. Are we requiring him to remedy this in any particular way?
Next cutoff.
That's all there is. So if he doesn't demo, we're back to square one. Okay.
We are in agreement that it probably will take longer than next cutoff, mm-hmm. but... So I don't know if you want to
not
do something
for him
mid.
To apply for
right.
the permit.
Okay. Yes, I understand.
The application for the permit will be by December.
We just need to see some action by then, and then we'll have to reconsider it as the board. But yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so you don't want in place the ultimate compliance yet, is what you're saying. Because ultimate compliance would have to be to fix it or remove it.
Right. If we do non-compliance next cutoff, and we come in next cutoff at the next meeting, and we find out a permit has been pulled, it's...
Okay.
All right. Am I correct?
You can do it that way, sir. Mr. Chair.
I mean, it doesn't...
Something doesn't happen at all. Right. That's this up to the act next.
Yeah, that's
all right.
Something
okay.
you can do.
We have to go on the actions, and, you know, and that's his intent. So yeah. Once the actions have taken place, then we can deal with it. Yeah.
Mr. President, let me understand this. You're saying in 30 days he come back to tell us or to show us that he has applied for the permit to demolish or fix up, then at that time we will give him more time.
30 more days.
The permit gives him 6 months because he hasn't applied.
Yeah.
We can't do anything based on verbiage.
If he doesn't do anything, you got the option
there. Why does the permit...
Mr. Chair.
The permit doesn't give him 6 months. It gives him 6 months by the way it's written. However, you have jurisdiction, so you're able to control
the time. Yeah, that we have to give him 6 months.
Okay. Right, okay. Yeah. So it's clarification. But I understand your point here, and I guess we go right back to where we started, which is the position of the staff that says that if he doesn't need asbestos and if there's no additional issues, then we still believe it's reasonable for him to get it done in 30 days.
Right.
But if other issues arise, then he may need some more time. And if he comes and he voiced those issues after he's got his permit and he's done those things, then I guess the board can then consider whether or not we felt he's been diligent enough to be granted additional time.
Isn't that just an extra step? Why don't we just give him 60 days to have it and be done with it?
Because it may take.
The other thing, you could do that.
You can do that. That's part of the issue. We're saying.
Right.
Right. If you guys can do that, and we're saying within 30 days he should be able to apply for his permit, and then give us a time frame as far as where he's going to go with that. Well, it's up to you if you want to extend.
Well, where he's going to go is to knock the house down.
Well, the reason for the 30 days was if he didn't do anything at all, bring him back next month.
Right. He's not knocking the house down now. He's applying for a permit. If he doesn't apply for the permit when he comes in next time, we're back to square one. And
that's back to square one.
30
so
days would be better because he could come in with the permit.
Okay.
Any discussion? All right. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent till December 4th. to bring the property into compliance will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Ms. Himes. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Mr. Kabazi, is giving you until next cutoff to bring the property into compliance or communicate with the code enforcement officer to let them know that you've applied for the permit, and then the board has the option to grant you more time to demo the property.
Your Honor, is that the next cutoff is December 4th? That's not even 14 days.
Sure.
Today is November 14th. 20 days.
Mm-hmm. To get a permit.
And part of it is holidays, so I don't know. Is it 30 days? Is it actual 30 days or?
It's the date we've gave you.
So it's 20 days.
Right. As you stated, your plan is to obtain the permit.
Correct.
And again, because of the complications that could be there, you just need to stay in contact with the inspector.
Yes, sir.
If more time is needed, it's up to the board to grant you that time, but we got to see some action being taken before we just decide to grant you time.
Thank you, sir.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
That exhausts our agenda. Any miscellaneous business from staff?
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Any miscellaneous business from the board?
I'm just kind of concerned that we had four cases today, and I know it's not our purview, but the solution is to knock the house down instead of pay a fine or fix it up. That's a good way to get rid of all your housing stock.
Well,
I know. I don't know whether there's anything to do about it or not, but... And I know this board can't do anything about it, but it's just an issue that...
Yeah, and I don't think you're saying this, but just for clarification, you realize that the staff really can't either because
right,
it's their property and they
right,
can do...
Right, that's right, but I don't know what I mean, I just wanted to bring to the attention of people that we're just knocking down our housing stock.
But my thing is that it's said a lot just to get through this, and it's not being done.
Right, I know.
And... I might be wrong, but I think Mr. Stinson, didn't we board that up one time? This was in 2009.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, mm-hmm. I know I mm-hmm. was right on that. Mm-hmm. It was before. And the same thing.
All right. Ms. Lucas, anything?
No.
Ms. Hines? Mr. Barnes?
We're fine.
Mr. Harrington? Mr. Smart? Ms. Kundig?
Happy Thanksgiving.
All righty, this concludes our board meeting. We are adjourned.